This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, if you're old enough to have the vote or to work somewhere that you can have some kind of influence, or you even just make daily decisions about what food to buy or transport to use, then you can feel empowered to make changes that can change the world for the better. You can choose to buy fair trade and organic and help people in the environment where that food is grown. You can choose to walk or to cycle and so reduce the pollution from cars. And you can affect decisions at work that could have a positive environmental impact. Now, ironically, those who are most invested in the future of the planet are the least empowered to do anything about it. If you're a child, those options to make a real difference are limited. And this, logically enough, can lead to a feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, and eco-anxiety. But there are things that even children can do that can have a very real impact, and taking part in Operation Ocelot is one of them. The World Land Trust is working together with Steve Backshall on a project that they've called Operation Ocelot. Now, if you've not heard of the World Land Trust, you will have heard of one of their patrons, Sir David Attenborough. Their mission is to help people across the world protect and restore their land to safeguard biodiversity and the climate. Let's hear more about Operation Ocelot from Dan Bradbury, World Land Trust Director of Brand and Communications. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. So can you tell us how Operation Ocelot works?
Yeah, hi Amanda, thanks for having me on. So Operation Ocelot, basically, it's a mechanism for fundraising and for schools or scout groups or whoever to really understand the impact that they're having on an area. So what they need to do is people visit the Operation Ocelot page on our site, and what they'll see there is a calculator, basically. So what they do is you can measure your school field or football pitch or local park or anything that you kind of feel like is something that could be achievable. So you measure that, put those calculations into our calculator on our website. And then what that will do will then give you a figure for the size, but then it will also give you a figure of how much it would cost to save an area the same size of the area you've just measured, which means that you can, like say, measure your school field. And then you can stand there and you can say, right, we've protected an area of forest in Brazil that's exactly the same size as that area that we're looking at now. And at the moment, just to kind of give you a rough idea, is it's around about £100 an acre to protect an area with this project in Brazil. And so an acre's kind of a bit bigger than a football pitch.
And why have you decided to aim Operation Ocelot particularly at children?
So I think there was a couple of reasons. So one, we're very aware that kids are becoming much more aware of what's going on in the world, especially environmentally. And there is this kind of concern from kids, which is growing, becoming more and more prevalent. So what we wanted to do was give something that kids could do really simply and really easily. But also, it's something that schools or scout groups or whatever could get involved with as well. Because what they can do is they can tie it into what they're learning at the school. They can tie it into their educational programs. So that's kind of why we did it, because we just felt like we wanted to give them an opportunity to do something really tangible, but also making it fun as well. So it's not just the case of let's hand over some money. It's understand why they're doing it, but also understand the scale of, because sometimes these things can seem so big and so vast and so difficult for people to really kind of understand the impact that they're having with the funds they raised. And we all know that people have different areas that are available to them. So it meant that whether you were in a city or whether you were out in the countryside, it didn't really matter. It could be your garden, it could be the school field, it could be the local shopping precinct or whatever.
And I love the way, like you say, you've tried to make it fun. The whole feeling when you go to the website, it feels very action-packed, you know, you're out on a mission. And you've got Steve Backshall involved. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Steve's one of our patrons, actually, and is a really good supporter of what we do. And obviously tying into Steve and his background in expeditions, you know, he's off traveling the world, he's seeing these places, so he's seeing the impact firsthand. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to tie into that. We wanted to make this fun. It's kind of, we probably get to a point of where everybody's kind of being asked to support charities, is being asked to support something. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to make it, as we say, all the things we just spoke about, make it really tangible. But what we wanted to do most and foremost was make it fun. Something like they felt like they were involved in, felt something that they felt like they could do. And Steve has backed it. You know, it's part of Steve's brainchild to do this. He wanted something where he could engage with these groups and really get them on board and let them really achieve something tangible, really something that they could see and something that they could do. And that's why Steve's involved in it. So we've just built it around that, built it around missions. You know, we're always talking about missions to make things happen. So, you know, we wanted to kind of get kids on board and get them involved in these big fundraising activities that we have.
Well, that really comes across very well. So Operation Ocelot has been running for a couple of years and you already have some tangible success under your belt. Can you just tell us what's already been achieved?
Yeah, so the first mission was part of a wider project that we had happening, which was a project in Caribbean Guatemala, where actually it provided funds and support for one of our largest fundraising activities that we've carried out. You know, this is an incredible landscape. So this is an area called Laguna Grande, which I said is on the Caribbean coast. It's kind of the border between Guatemala and Belize. And this landscape goes from kind of mountaintop all the way down to the lagoon and seagrass, actually. So you've got all of these different habitat types, which is home to a rich diversity of wildlife. But as with all of our projects, it plays a key role in the challenges we face. We've got this climate crisis and biodiversity crisis that we're all facing at the moment, which is causing all of this anxiety, especially in this kind of younger generation. But this particular project supports the battle against those things. So it provides home for species, like all of our projects, so land being the most important part of any project. So it provides home for biodiversity. It also, it's already got established trees, so it's already locking in carbon and storing carbon, but it's also providing benefits to the local communities as well on many scales. So it's protecting water sources, it's stopping things like erosion, but also where this is, it also creates a buffer and a barrier against hurricanes as well. So it's kind of got all of these benefits, and that's why it's important to protect land and put land as the kind of key aspect of any of these things. So Operation Ocelot was part of that. It provided funding for that. So people who have already been involved, you know, have played a positive part in protecting land for things like ocelots in these areas. So, yeah, so it's kind of an incredible one. And then obviously we've now moved on to this second project.
Okay. And how about this second project? What will Operation Ocelot be protecting now?
So the second project is in the Atlantic forest of Brazil. So obviously everybody thinks Brazil, thinks Amazon, which, you know, has played this incredible role in highlighting the issues that we're all facing. But in Brazil, the second last forest was the Atlantic forest. So this runs down the Atlantic coast. It's kind of Atlantic coast and then ran into Uruguay, Paraguay, places like that. And what it did, it's about where our project is about 90 kilometers north of Rio. Now, the Atlantic forest, we've actually lost 93% of that forest already. This is one of the most biodiverse habitats on the planet. So Brazil ranks in the world's 17 most megadiverse countries. And actually, and Brazil itself is home to around 20% of Earth's biodiversity. Places rich with wildlife. But if you take where the project is in Brazil, that this is going to be funding, this is with our project partner, Regua, who already protects 11,000 or just over 11,000 hectares. So nearly 28,000 acres. They've already planted over 500,000 trees in this landscape as well. But the reason we're there is because obviously, you know, we've talked about this pressure on the forest, the pressure, you know, there's only, as I said, 7% of this forest left, but this isn't one big forest. This is fragmented. So what we're trying to do is protect some of these remaining landscapes where we know new species are still being found. They've already recorded, I think it's 485 species of bird there. So nearly over 100 things, about 118 of those are endemic to the Atlantic forest itself. There's 73 mammal species there, which include puma, ocelot, the southern mariki. There's over 200 species of dragonfly. So this place is just rich with wildlife. And it's really, really important that we protect this.
It does sound like an absolutely amazing place, that it would be really tragic if we lost. So that does sound really good. Now, Operation Ocelot, as you said, it is aimed at fundraising, but you've also incorporated learning opportunities as well. Can you tell us how that works?
Yeah, so a few years ago, I sat down and I actually read the school curriculum. So kind of over 2 or 3 years, I had a look at where it was. And basically, what we wanted to do was we wanted to help teachers because actually the subject matter that we're talking about is in the curriculum for Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to provide them with the materials they needed. So we know that they learn about things like rainforest. They have to learn about habitats and species and prey and predators and all of those kind of things. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to build materials that could support those teaching and those lessons. And again, kind of going back to the fundraising element of this is that, you know, I've been on the Parent and Teacher Association, so I know the pressures that some of these schools are put under. So if we could create something that was tied into the curriculum, so tied in so that actually helps support their lessons and their learning, then we felt that that was something that would kind of be more easable and more digestible for schools to be part of without feeling the pressure of just having to raise funds and donate. The other good thing about it is that for schools is that even once they carry out Operation Ocelot, is that they can then go on forever. They can talk about saying, well, we've protected an area that size, and they can build lessons around that. You know, they can learn about what kind of species might be in that area of that size. How many trees do you think could be in that landscape? So they get to kind of have this ongoing relationship with this area and the area they protected in Brazil.
Okay, yeah, that sounds really good and just makes it all so much more live as well for children learning. Now, as you said, you've already been able to report some success that's been enabled by Operation Ocelot. Do you get any feedback from any of the children or teachers who've raised money to enable that success?
Well, the feedback we get is positive. The feedback we've had is that they've enjoyed doing it. They've made it understandable. They've also actually invariably ended up quite a lot of them actually fundraising and raising more than the area they'd actually measured, because actually it's not that cost prohibitive. You know, it's something that is possible to do without having to raise thousands and thousands of pounds, you know. So they've done that and they've used that as a really positive thing for them. But also teachers have kind of come back and said, look, they like the fact it fits in with the curriculum. It can continue within their lessons and their wider learning.
Okay. So if someone is listening and thinking, oh, that could be good for their school or their scout or guide group or whatever, what's their first step and what will they get to get them started?
Well, the first thing they can do is visit the World Land Trust website, which is just worldlandtrust.org. On there, you'll actually find a link to Operation Ocelot on the homepage. There's a big picture of Steve or it's in our menus. So in there, they can go into there, and on that page, they'll find the calculator. And to be honest, they can go into that straight away and it can kind of give them an idea straight about what they need to do and what they would need to fundraise. So before kind of going head first into this. And then on that page, there is lots of materials about the that they can use. There's things to support the programs. There's videos that they can use in their lesson planning as well. And then outside of that, if they get in touch through the site, they can get in touch with the team at World Land Trust, who will be able to help them with the things that they're doing. And then there is actually also an email address there for Steve, where they can send a message to Steve, and we'll get that message to him. And and get some feedback that way. So basically, everything they need is on the website. It's really simple to do, but we're always there to support them and help them if they need it outside of that.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for telling us about that.
No problem at all. And like I say, thank you very much for having me on. It's much appreciated.
I was talking there to Dan Bradbury, World Land Trust Director of Brand and Communications. And I'll make sure that a link to the Operation Ocelot webpage is included in the notes that accompany the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast's page of mix926.com. And if you're in any doubt whether taking part in Operation Ocelot is worthwhile, whether you could really feel that you're taking part in something important, and whether all of us making a small contribution can achieve something huge, then do take a look at Steve Backshall's video that you'll find on the Operation Ocelot webpage. Really made me quite emotional. And just while we're talking about the World Land Trust, lots of environmental charities, I know, do give the opportunity to sponsor something like tree planting as a gift. Well, the World Land Trust do that too, which they explain that they do by employing the expertise and cooperation of local people to ensure that the trees that they plant are appropriate and that they receive the aftercare that they need to thrive. That or having some rainforest purchased on your behalf, I think makes just a lovely gift. And you'll find all the information on how you can do that again on their website. Now, a quick thank you to all you lovely listeners who responded to my shout out on social media to get involved in the Environment Matters Eco Laundry Trial. With your help, I'm testing well-known eco laundry products to see which saves the planet and your laundry. The washing machines are whirring and the results are coming through showing which products make the best job cleaning biro, curry, red wine and mud at just 30 degrees centigrade. I, for one, can't wait to see the results and to share them with you. And in the meantime, what's your favourite eco laundry product and why does it work so well for you? You can get in touch with me and tell me all about it via email. I'm on amanda.yeworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll be back with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.